flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome in to a very special Hump Day edition of Evan and Tiki. We are all together for the next 4.5 hours, and there is plenty to discuss. We'll be joined by the great Connor Hughes at 4 o'clock. He'll update us on the off seasons of both our horrible football teams, the New York Giants and the New York Jets. Tiki will try to explain to all of us, Met fans, baseball fans, what the hell their strategy is around Pete Alonso. So there's a lot to get to.
Yes, lots.
Oh, yeah. And we need to find out who Josh Hart hates.
We'll get to that.
That's the other investigation.
You know what I did this morning? I live in Ford Park. I went on an interview for the Jets head coaching job.
Did you really? I actually believe him.
I didn't at all. They're interviewing everybody related to football.
So speaking of such, I have been here for a very long time now, and I've seen the Mets hire 6 managers. I've seen the Yankees only hire 2 managers. I've seen the Giants hire 4 NFL head coaches. And believe it or not, I've only seen the Jets hire 4 NFL head coaches. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of shows over the years in which we react to the hiring of a head coach and the hiring of a manager. But only one time in my life did me and my partner at the time, the great Joe Beningo, react in a way of disgust when a decision was made by one of our local teams. And as you may recall, that was when the New York Jets decided to hire Adam Gase. Now, the reason I bring that up is I feel like today in talking about the Jet coaching search, we need to put all these candidates to the test. Mm. And the test I'm talking about is the Gase test.
And what I mean by that is
when Adam Gase was hired, Joe B. and myself reacted in a vitriolic kind of way. In fact, I have a sound effect to describe Beningo's reaction to Adam Gase becoming the next Jets head coach. Take a listen. That guttural sound effect came from the body of Joe Beningo.
That was Joe B. That was not Joe B.
I swear to you it was Joe B. And if you listen very carefully, I'll play it for you one more time. You can hear Brian Costello of the New York Post in the background trying to fight through the guttural sound to finish his point about Adam Gase. So, Jet fans, Tiki, as a Giant legend, we're gonna play a game today.
That's amazing.
We are going to go through all these Jet coaching candidates, And some of which we'll be indifferent to or like, we'll see. Some of which we'd be excited about. But some of them fail the Adam Gase test, which means they would cause that kind of guttural, you have to be freaking kidding me reaction from me and other Jet fans. Let's put these guys to the Gase test.
Okay.
Are you ready?
This will be interesting. So if it's not the guttural reaction from Joe Beningo, what reaction are we giving?
Well,
that's okay.
I think there's a lot
of... That was really good. Like, what's the reaction?
I think there's a lot of... Because I could tell you right now, I'm going to give you an example right off the top. You know Darren Rizzi?
Darren Rizzi, special teams coordinator for the New Orleans Saints, interim head coach.
Yes. That's Darren Rizzi. Look at you.
The Rizzler.
Darren Rizzi interviewed for the Jet head coaching job. And many of you out there may disagree with me on this, and that's totally fine. You can join in on the Gase test at 888-808-1019.
He was on that Miami staff with Dan Campbell.
He was.
Ben Johnson.
That's right. And by the way, if you want to say someone has flunked the Gase test, either Tommy can play that sound effect for you. Or you are more than welcome to create your own visceral sound reaction. Okay, that's up to you. I kind of look at Darren Rizzi and I'm like, I'm sort of intrigued. Mm. Like, I wouldn't celebrate on the radio if they hired him, but I would also defend it from a guttural reaction because there's a part of me that says, all right, special teams coach, he has a lot of experience, he's learned in kind of a solid tree. So I would say Rizzi kind of meets the, we'll see kind of area of the Gase test.
Well, Rizzi to me, because there's two different ways to go after or hire your head coach. I mean, not ways, but two different types of guys that you're going to hire as your head coach. One is the expert on something, right? Robert Saleh is the defensive expert. We saw it with the San Francisco 49ers. You expected him to bring that defensive philosophy and energy to the New York Jets, so you hire him. Brian Daboll, offensive gurus, done it in many places, including winning a national championship at Alabama. QB guru, using that word in quotes, as a lot of people like to do, because he did it with Jalen Hurts and Tua at Alabama, and then he did it at Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills. You hire him because he's an offensive guru.
Right.
And then there's the coach that is just a dude.
Right.
Like the motivator of men. And that example is Dan Campbell.
Right.
Dan Campbell's a good offensive mind. Obviously, he's been in a lot of different systems, played with the Giants, and he was the interim in Miami. Then he was with Sean Payton. But he's not calling plays.
Right.
He's giving direction. This is what I want to do on this type of play. But he's not that guru. He's just, I'm biting kneecaps kind of guy. Rizzi, to me, is more that.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I think if a few years ago the Jets hired Dan Campbell, without us knowing what Dan Campbell would be, my reaction would have been, okay, I'm kind of intrigued.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be celebrating it. I wouldn't be telling you, boy, this is my number one on my hire list, but I would have been open-minded to it. So Darren Rizzi, as an example, is a guy I'm open-minded to. But I'd like to give you an example of someone that fails the Gase test.
Go ahead.
Would you like to hear that?
I would love that.
Now, before I say the name, do you want to hear Joe Beningo's guttural reaction? Do you want to hear my guttural reaction? Would you want a combination of the both?
I want yours.
You want mine?
Yeah.
All right. Here's a guy that flunks the Adam Gase test. If they hire this guy, if they hire this freaking guy I'm about to say, I'm going to lose my GD mind.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I don't know when I did that. Maybe that was about Gase, too. It's very possible. Arthur Smith.
Why are you so anti Arthur Smith?
Arthur Smith. Are you freaking kidding me?
Arthur Smith is highly desired by Woody Johnson.
Bro.
He almost got the job in 2021. They almost hired him last year to usurp my boy, Nate Hackett.
Well, that's different. That's an offensive coordinator's job. And he did a fine job in Pittsburgh, I guess. But we're not talking about an offensive coordinator. We're talking about a head coach. He's the king of 7-10. Arthur Smith is a hire, to me, is very Gaysian.
Same old Jets.
That would be a very Gaysian hire.
Yeah.
And I think I speak for Joe and many Jet fans when I say that will cause a Gaysian guttural response if their answer to this coaching search is Arthur freaking Smith.
I can't give it a guttural hell no, but he wasn't the easiest to deal with in the production meetings.
There's another reason why I don't want this guy.
We had him multiple times over the last couple of years. But I think his lack of growth year over year, because it was literally the same season every year, it felt like.
Yeah.
7-10, 7-10, 7-10.
Right.
21-30 over the course of his career. And it just never felt like he was going to, I don't know, be anything other than that.
So what makes you think he'd be different here?
Nothing. And especially watching the last 5 weeks of the Pittsburgh Steelers regular and postseason, I'm not inspired by his offensive coordinator either.
So would you, and I don't know if you have the guttural response in you, but would you agree that Arthur Smith fails the Gase test?
Yeah, I would. It's not going to excite any Jet fan.
Do you want to try guttural response or not?
I don't
really
know if I could do it.
Mm.
I don't know if I've ever...
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience?
Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative.
Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Been guttural.
Even on the field?
No.
Like, even after you run over a linebacker and you get up and you're like,
do you think that ever happened?
Yards.
I would just smile at them.
Oh. Yeah, you're not the guttural guy. You're the
not the guttural guy.
You're the smile and wink guy.
Wow, did that hurt a little bit? I'm really sorry I knocked you down like that. Would you like me to help you up? Or is that going to offend you and your teammates are going to get mad at you that you got run over and then I helped you up? Okay, I'll just go back.
That is the badass way to do it. Let me give you another guy that meets the guttural response, you fail the Gaseian test.
Let's hear it.
And I have to be honest with you. About a week ago, I wasn't even familiar with this guy, so it's nothing personal. And that is longtime college coach and current Maryland coach, Mike Locksley. Mike Locksley.
Yes. That one, I would try the guttural for that one.
Oh, would you?
If the Jets hired him.
All right, first let's hear my guttural response, or Joe's. Boy, me and Joe end up sounding alike, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, you do.
You want to give it a try? Oh, hell no. That's an old hell. Like, you cannot sell me on a college coach who over the last 6 years at the University of Maryland is 32 and 36. By the way, you wouldn't be able to sell me if he was 36 and 32. But nevertheless, like, and I get it. I'm not opposed to interviewing people. So the fact that they're interviewing a ton of people, that's fine.
Right,
but once
him.
You interview somebody, I have to at least as a fan take it somewhat serious that you're considering hiring the gentleman.
I can't believe he even has the knowledge to know what to say in an NFL interview. Has he ever been in the NFL?
So he interviewed for an NFL job.
No, but has he been in the NFL? Has he coached in the league?
I don't think so, no.
I'd have to go look. Someone can check for us, but how would he know what to say in an NFL interview? You know what I mean? I guess there's probably ways to be, I don't know, wised up on this stuff, but I don't know. That one just, it's out of left field, and it's odd to me.
So you're with me, 2 for 2 on the guttural.
100%.
You failed the gaze test. And by the way, failing the gaze test is a real challenge. I mean, I talk about the Giant hires, the Jet hires, the Yankee hires, the Met hires, the Knicks have had a lot of hires. Adam Gase is literally the only hire in New York sports history, while I've been on the radio since 07, that caused that response. Mm. Now, there are other hires maybe I didn't love as much. Like, I didn't love Mickey Callaway, right? I wasn't dancing across the... But I also was at least, all right, you know what? Let me give this guy a shot. Maybe I'm wrong. You never know. Adam Gase, that's the test. So far, we got two guys who have been interviewed by the New York Jets who have failed the gaze test. I'll give you a third guy.
By the way, Locksley was only in college. He's never coached in the NFL.
So who knows what he's doing in the interviews or what he's saying? Maybe he's just kissing Woody's ass.
Maybe.
I'll give you another one. And tell me if you agree, because so far you're with me on these guys cannot be the head coach of the New York Jets. If the Jets hire them, we're going to lose our minds. Are you ready for this one?
Up in here. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if Teak's going to agree with me on this. Tiki may say, well, you know. You ready? Vance Joseph. Okay, before you respond.
I do not concur.
Really, why?
So Vance Joseph is one of those guys who's getting his second chance at being a head coach.
Oh, by the way, so would Arthur Smith, if we're being fair.
Okay. But I have experience with Arthur Smith, and I just don't like what he did this year, even as the offensive coordinator in the Pittsburgh Steelers, or whatever they won. How many games? 10? Whatever game, 11 games they won, 10-7. Lost 5 in a row and looked bad doing it at the end of the season. So once people figured them, or maybe Russell Wilson out, they had no shot, and we all knew it. So Arthur Smith, and as I said before, I have some experience calling games that he sat in production meetings with us. So it is what it is. Vance Joseph got the head coaching job. He was young, relatively young when he got that
job. He was 45 years old when he got the Denver job in 2017. He coached 2 years there, 5-11, 6-10.
Yes, and it was bad, but it was his first job. He had no idea what he was doing, and he got run out of town, and deservedly so. But now he's back. They let him hire him back, and he had one of the best defenses in football. And when you talk about a guy like Brian Flores learning from his first stint and then doing better on the second stint because he's so good at what he actually does, that's intriguing to me. And so I'm not saying it's a home run, but it's at least intriguing to me, especially because of who the head coach was of the Denver Broncos this year, and that's Sean Payton. So Sean takes pride in teaching everyone, right? It's one of the reasons he wanted Zach Wilson there, because he wants to remake Zach's career and get credit for teaching him how to be a professional quarterback.
Right.
He also does that with his staff. And so Dan Campbell is a prime example. And so what's the other guy's name? He stayed behind him in New Orleans.
Well, Darren Rizzi coached under him as well.
Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen. He had some levels of success.
Nah, he was terrible. He was terrible.
Ultimately, he didn't have the offensive scheme to do it. But I like the fact that Vance is on a second chance, and he coached under Sean Payton. I think that means something.
You've toned down my scream a little bit.
Yes.
I would still scream. I would still not be happy.
I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's more interesting to me than the first two that you've given us.
I'll give you another name, and I know that for many Jet fans, this may cause a scream. And I think when I first heard his name, I screamed inherently. It was just, I screamed. And then I gave it a little bit more thought. And I want to make this clear. I don't want this man to be the next head coach of the New York Jets. But I think he's moved into the territory of, all right, I'm not going to scream and yell. This has not failed or passed the Gaysian test.
Okay.
But I don't love it, and hopefully he can build off of his first experience. And the guy I'm talking about is Matt Nagy. And the reason I warmed up to him, boy, you're giving me a face. Do you want to give a guttural scream for Matt Nagy?
No, it's not guttural, but that's just a swallow my response.
Wow. Well, don't swallow. Spit, Tiki.
I can't.
I meant his response. You like that one?
He He failed so bad at Chicago.
He won 12 games, won Coach of the Year, and coached Mitchell Trubisky to the playoffs. You know what we call that? There's actually a word for that. That's called pulling a Brian Daboll.
So what happened then?
What do you mean, what happened?
What happened after
I don't know. Ask Daboll. What happened to him?
We know what happened with
I think
Dave.
What happened, without following the Bears real closely, is that while he got a lot out of Mitchell Trubisky just wasn't that good.
No.
I think it starts there. I think it goes there. I think he also, their defense wasn't as good that first year when they won 12 games. And they had, what's his name, as the defensive coordinator? Vic Fangio did a brilliant job. And things got worse, and they became a mediocre team, and obviously he became a failed head coach. But I've heard a lot of Giant fans tell me Brian Daboll's coach of the year. I know he can coach.
He was there 4 years.
Matt Nagy was there for 4 years. They somehow managed to win 12 games with Trubisky at quarterback, and they were a doink away from winning a playoff game.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't love him.
Double doink.
I would put a double doink. Thank you. I'd put him in that middle category of,
Well, they won on defense. They had an elite defense. I'm just going back and looking at it now. Top three defense for yards, top scoring defense in the NFL that year. They sacked that crap out of everybody. They were awesome, right, defensively.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean,
they won 12 games. They also had a top 10 offense. Like, he did something right. And by the way, when you're the head coach, and this is the dream of a head coach, I want all facets of the game to be good. Just because you come from an offensive background or a defensive background, I don't just want that aspect of my team to be good. Look at Rex when he was here. Yeah, the defense was great. They didn't score enough points. Like, you're the head coach. You're the CEO. And the sign of a real good head coach is that when we think about them, we forget their background. We don't even remember what their background was.
Right.
When you've been around long enough and you've won enough, like, it almost just leaves your brain what their background is. So Nagy kind of fits that middle area of, I will not be excited. I will not walk in here pumped up. I will not be like, we got the guy. He's not on my top five list. But I think he at least escapes the guttural, this is Gase all over again kind of higher.
I would give that to you. I think what bothers me as I look through his seasons is that Mitch Trubisky just got worse every year. And then ultimately he only played 9 games in his last season and they went to Nick Foles.
Right.
So when your offense goes backwards with the same guy, don't you worry about that?
I don't know. I'll ask Giant fans. You guys worried about that?
Well, hold on. Daniel Jones was hurt. Mitchell Jones was not his guy.
And Mitchell Trubisky may not be that good. Maybe that was the biggest problem.
But Nagy was part of identifying and bringing in Mitchell Trubisky.
I understand. Right. I'm just saying. Like, maybe he wasn't that good. They did. They went from 3-2. It was one of those trades where they gave up assets.
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, just to move up the one slot to secure who they could get. And the other thing that makes it look bad is that was the same draft where, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson went soon after.
Yeah.
So not only did you identify Mitchell Trubisky as your guy, and by the way, those are all fair negatives about him. That's why I wouldn't be dancing on the ceiling if they hired him. I'm just saying he's avoided the guttural scream that some of these other candidates have.
And then he got a chance to, and the staff to, Ryan Pace, draft another quarterback and Justin Fields. And then he got fired after 1 year with Justin Fields.
Yeah. No, that's why I wouldn't love him. And by the way, what he's done in Kansas City is also tough to get excited about because it's Andy Reid's baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
And by the way, they're not great offensively this year.
Right. This year, they're not great offensively. So are you saying I should have a guttural response to Matt Nagy?
No. Not a guttural response, but it should be tepid.
It should be like a tep. Well, no, it is tepid. I admit that.
Yes.
I give you one other guy.
No, you were right. Your response was correct.
Thank you. One other guy gets a guttural response. One other guy. Now, to make this clear, all right, this guy will not be hired by the New York Jets. He will not be, I promise you. I can't guarantee much in life, but I can guarantee you this man will not be hired by the New York Jets. But he did interview for the New York Jets head coaching
job. Let's hear it.
And if they somehow shocked me by hiring him, I would argue my guttural response would be louder and angrier than any other candidates I mentioned. And I could also argue it'd be worse than Gase. Are you ready for this one?
Is it the guy who was the interim?
It is the guy who is the interim, Jeff Albright.
Right now?
Can't give me Jeff Albright.
I like Jeff Albright. I think he's a good coach. He was way over his head. And I don't know how you keep him there and expect him to be better.
No, you can't.
Exactly.
You know, I get it. They're being nice. They're interviewing him. It's like, you know what?
Right. No, they got to give him the shot.
Right.
just because he was the interim. You always interview the interim.
But I do want to make clear that if somehow they did hire him, he would cause the Gase meter to actually break. He would be the one guy to break it. And no one else that they're talking to would break the Gase meter. Like Steve Spagnuolo, I'd be very worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say, all right, you know what? He's one of the great defensive coordinators of all time.
He might, again, he only had one job, right?
Yeah. Well, Rams. He tattooed, if you want to count the Giants. I don't count the Giants because it was interim.
Yeah.
But he had one real head coaching job, and that was with the Rams.
Right. And so he's kind of, to me, like Vance Joseph. I'd have the same kind of reaction. All right, you failed at it, but you're really good at what you actually do.
Yeah, but not just really good, like Hall of Fame worthy.
100%. 100%. Vance is not even close to where Spags is on that defensive coordinator hierarchy of best that are doing it right now. But he also failed at it, and sometimes you learn from that.
At some point in the next week or two or maybe three, the New York Jets are going to make their most important decision they've made in the last 5 years. They're going to hire a head coach. I prefer Brian Flores, but who are the guys that would break the Gase meter and cause us as Jet fans to lose our mind? Like that.
Up in here?
Up in here. We'll get your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. That is the toll-free number. There is a lot of football to get to today. There is some baseball to get to today, including what the Mets' plans are, if any, for Pete Alonso. And the great Connor Hughes will join us at 4 o'clock. Your calls. Speaking of the New York football Giants, while their defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, still has a job, they have just fired Jerome Henderson, who is their defensive backs coach, according to Mike Garofalo. So what do you think of that? Does that, like, satisfy the Giant fans who want blood?
I mean, like, if you know who he is, maybe, but...
Well, if you know who he is, then you're just a bad person.
That's not true.
Then I'd feel worse about it.
No, because I would actually say the hardcore Giant fan, Jerome Henderson, was, like, a guy on the staff I think a lot of Giant fans like.
Oh, really? Know?
Because he's also, in the past, when you think about years like Fabian Moreau, like, he's made, you know... scratch out of garbage at times at the D-backs.
So you're not happy about this?
I wouldn't say I'm indifferent towards it. Here's what it tells me more than anything. Shane Bowen is probably coming back.
Oh, I think so, too.
Well, didn't they already say that he is?
Well, but the idea was maybe Vrabel hires him as the DC in New England. That's kind of like the wait
and see.
Oh, I
hear what you're saying.
But to me, for the news today to break that they're firing the D-back coach, remember, these were all, Bowen basically inherited everybody who was there because he was hired late in the process last year.
Right.
He's probably coming back and hiring his own staff.
Yeah. I mean, which makes sense. It's hard when you're hired as the only piece of a new system, you know what I mean? That to change everything that's already there.
But
unless you are happen to be bringing your whole staff with you. So Shane Bowen was at Tennessee the year before, so two seasons ago, and I don't know where his staff went after they all got fired. I'm sure they immediately went looking for jobs, and then Shane Bowen gets hired by the Giants, and some of those guys might already have jobs. So it just becomes hard to put a staff together.
And I also think just Deontay Banks, Cordell Flott, some of these guys they invested picks in haven't developed the way they thought, and maybe that's part of it.
Is that his fault, though?
Even if it's not, he's going to be scapegoated for that.
So he's a scapegoat fire.
Is it scapegoat or scapegoat?
Scapegoat. Like a goat.
Okay.
Yeah, like a G-O-A-T. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a scapegoat fire. Giants had a terrible season. The head coach is still here. The GM is still here. The defensive coordinator is still here. So we got to fire somebody.
I forgot. I just read where that came from. Scapegoat.
The origins of it?
Yeah. And it's something along the lines of whispering your whatever sins to a goat and letting it escape.
Oh, really?
So it's escape goat.
There goes Tiki.
So we've shortened it to scapegoat.
Ah.
But it's really escape.
You know what's interesting about this rabbit hole, though?
It's a goat that you whisper stuff to.
Tiki.
I did this, this, and this, and this. Get away.
Yeah.
Tiki,
so we're not burdened by it anymore.
That really baffles me.
I'm glad you got that in. The best part about that rabbit hole, ladies and gentlemen, is Tiki did not turn a computer on. He didn't take his phone out. Like, that's a rabbit hole he already had developed in his very own head.
Yeah, that's like when you asked me about aliens. But those are implanted by Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right.
And others.
Oh, boy. By the way, did you hear the breaking news about Jerome Henderson, who just got fired? He's interviewing for the Jets head coaching job.
Giants also, by the way, fired safeties coach Mike Trier.
Oh, and guess what? He's interviewing right after Jerome for the Jets head coaching job. Here's what I don't understand. Before we get to your calls on the Gase test, of course, the Adam Gase test is, if the Jets hire this person, I'm going to lose my mind the way I did and the way Joe did years ago when they hired Adam Gase. I don't understand. It's been 48 hours. And we'll talk to Connor Hughes a little bit later on. He'll join us at 4 o'clock if you want to set your clocks. How have they not interviewed Mike McCarthy? That doesn't make sense. And if the excuse is, well, Evan, they interviewed him in 2020. Yeah. So if they've already interviewed him, they don't need to interview him again. They interviewed Arthur Smith 4 years ago, too.
Right. And they have him back.
And they had him back. So tell me why a Super Bowl winning head coach, who, by the way, even if you don't want to hire, has a lot of intel on Aaron Rodgers, why you wouldn't interview him.
Maybe the excuse is right in front of us.
What's that?
Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Aaron Rodgers has said, look, we don't know what Aaron is, where Aaron is, what he's saying to Jets ownership or what. We don't know anything. But maybe they're saying we need to figure out the Aaron Rodgers thing before we figure out the Mike McCarthy thing.
Well, no. You need to figure out the coach and the GM before you ever figure out the quarterback, because it's up to the coach and the GM.
Yeah.
And even if Aaron says to them, I don't work with Mike McCarthy again, I still interview Mike McCarthy. It doesn't mean I'm hiring him.
Or perhaps he said things like, well, this is why you shouldn't hire Mike McCarthy.
Oh, so you think they're trusting Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know.
I wouldn't do that either.
I wouldn't.
This guy may not be on the team next year.
I'm just saying.
No,
what other explanation is there? He's one of the most available, one of those qualified available head coaches right now. Why would you not interview, considering you're interviewing everybody else?
Yeah.
I mean, literally everybody.
I'll tell you another person they should talk to. And this is going to sound crazy, but why the hell not at this point? I'd call up Deion. I'd call up Deion Sanders. You know, we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys reaching out to him.
Yeah, but
why not if you're the Jets?
He might not take that call.
Okay, then he doesn't take the call. That's fine.
Yeah.
I didn't say he's going to say yes. I didn't tell you he's actually going to be like, cool, I'm flying to New York. But if I'm the Jets and I'm going big tent, which they have in this process, and they're interviewing a guy like Michael Locksley, the head coach of Maryland, which no one can still understand why they're interviewing him, then why wouldn't you reach out to winners? Mike McCarthy is a winner. Deion Sanders, so far in college, has been a winner.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not telling you, throw out $1 billion to the guy and hire them. I didn't say that. I'm saying I talk to them. And that's the one part of this Jet search that bothers me. It's not the big tent process. I like that. It's the fact that they stop short with certain guys like Mike McCarthy. It doesn't make sense. Ben Johnson. Like, why are they not interviewing him? He's the hottest young coaching candidate in the NFL, and they have not requested an interview.
Maybe
Cliff Kingsbury, why not?
Maybe they're waiting? I don't know. It's like they're interviewing the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
The easy guys that are right now available and give them the best chance to hire.
Well, that's not the way you should do the process.
Of course not.
I'll tell you, you should
do the opposite.
I'll give you another name who's already gotten multiple interviews. I'm curious why they haven't called this guy and said, come on in for an interview. I can't even get through this without laughing. The very hot coaching candidate, you may have heard of him. His name is Robert Saleh.
No, stop. I mean, the Jags are interviewing him.
And the Cowboys.
Right.
He does have a house here.
Can you imagine that swerve?
Also, Evan, to defend the Jets, Ben Johnson may have expressed, or through channels not to be the Jets, there is reports out of Vegas that momentum is building. He's going to the Raiders.
It doesn't matter. You still, if you're telling
me. Just because Tom Brady wants him?
I don't know. That's what Raiders reporters.
Sean. If the story is he said no to an interview, fine. I'm not complaining about that. There has been no indication the Jets have reached out.
By the way, were Raiders reporters hearing that on social media?
Well, they're telling us on social media. I don't know where they're hearing.
I'm asking you, where are they hearing this?
Do you have like a clue you want to drop to us or something?
No, I'm just saying a lot of stuff is said on social media that has zero basis in fact, and it gets presented as fact.
Yeah, you're right. Did you see what Sean did on social media?
No.
Tweeted out a picture of his ass 5 minutes ago. I couldn't believe he did that.
That was actually his face. They look alike. Tap and load, or tap and hold to load in 4K.
I know, and I clicked on it, and it was Yutukis.
Was it, though?
I mean, I don't know. Can I show it to Tiki, and then Tiki will tell us?
Yeah, sure. Tell me. Let me see.
All right.
Unfortunately, I've already seen this because he sent it to our group chat, like we wanted to see it.
Right. So what's your point?
That I've already seen his supposed ass.
I wasn't showing it to you. I was showing it to Tiki.
Yes, because I have not seen this.
What do you think that is?
His arm.
Oh, you think it's his arm?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's very hairy. I've never seen a tuchus that would be that hairy.
What if I told you may be both wrong?
Okay, so what is it?
I shame on people for assuming that somebody's ass, first of all. That's disgusting.
Shame on me. I mean,
that's
what I look like.
Do you think I would post my butt on Twitter?
I don't know.
Shame on you,
I think,
Evan.
You're very desperate for attention. You see the attention Tommy's getting, and you're like, you know how I can respond? My butt.
He's Those bored. Are two separate things. That is my knee. The underneath of my knee when I sit with shorts. And shame on people for looking at somebody's knee and assuming it's a butt. And I feel crazy.
It kind of looks like a butt,
but you can still tap and hold
the
low.
Why did you post your knee?
Why? Because everybody online is posting the tap and hold things in 4K. I wanted people to see my knee in 4K.
What does that even mean? Do we know what that means?
I don't know.
Tap and hold
to be a part
in 4K?
You can tap and hold something and... What? I have no idea what you're
You've been gone
about.
From Twitter too long. This is the big craze the last few
days. Yeah, so there's this trend. Like, the Jets even did it with Aaron Rodgers. The Mets have done it, where they say tap and hold in 4K.
You know what you guys are? You guys are lemmings following Elon Musk.
Correct.
Yes.
Lemming.
Yeah,
right off a cliff.
Yes. Yes. Oh, we're complete lemmings. I have no idea what it is. I just assumed when I saw it, it's a joke I don't understand, and I've accepted it. Like, I'm in my 40s. It's well over my head. All I could care about was, can you show me Mike McCarthy in 4K and why the Jets haven't interviewed him? Because I can't figure it out. Let's go to Rob in Tom's River. How are you, Rob?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Evan, major fan of you. Tiki, major fan of you as well.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it. What's up?
So this is not a guy who I think fails the Adam Gase test, but a guy that maybe passes and should get a lot more, I guess, credit than he is in coaching interviews, and that's Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Bills.
Yes.
And the reason why I say that is a couple-fold. One, responsible for producing maybe some of the best wide receivers to come out of college, out of LSU. But a lot of people forget, as an offensive assistant with New Orleans before that, he was part of two incredibly formidable winning teams.
Right.
And he did something Ken Dorsey could not do in Buffalo and get the most out of Josh Allen.
Yeah. No, you're
not
right.
Saying Josh Allen is a slouch, but he is a guy I think who deserves a lot more credit and a lot more recognition than he's getting in coaching interviews,
specifically,
with the Jets.
Yeah, I think he will be a fast riser. The challenge is that this is only, I mean, forget the North Carolina, the Tar Heels stint. I mean, not the Tar Heels.
LSU.
Panthers stint. I have Bill Belichick on my brain. When he was with the Panthers, so he was the Panthers.
He was Carolina's OC for 2 years, yes.
With, I forget his name. He's now in Nebraska.
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule. And it was disaster.
Yes.
Utter disaster. And so he went from this hot college transitioning to the pro coordinator to, man, this guy just can't cut it. Now, the reality is it was Matt Rhule that couldn't cut it.
Right.
And so he was kind of, I don't know, he took the brunt of it because their offense was so bad.
Yeah, it hurt his reputation.
It really did.
He had to rehab it with the Buffalo Bills.
100%. And so he goes to the Bills, and he's kind of just behind the scenes until they fired their offensive coordinator. And once he took over, it completely changed.
And Josh Allen has produced, 100%. Even though he won't win the MVP, an MVP-caliber season this
year. But when you go back and look at what he did in college, so they were amazing. That team in that won the national championship with Joe Burrow as a quarterback. So he should still be one of those fast risers. It's just a matter of whether or not everybody has come around on it.
Yeah,
there has to be like a consensus, and it hasn't happened quite yet.
Where I would stand on Joe Brady, I would not lose my mind, so I think he has passed the Gase test, or failed it, depending on how you want to view it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will not scream and yell. I'd be very worried.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a 35-year-old guy who turned around a guy who was already great in Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Josh Allen's had his best season. Right. It's not like he was chopped liver 2 years ago.
I wouldn't say turn him around. He just got him back on track.
That's my point. Like, he didn't even turn him around. He has certainly been one of the architects of Josh Allen's best offensive season.
Yeah.
I will totally give him that. But he's 35 years old, and it would be a real shot in the wind kind of hire. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, is he the next Sean McVay?
Because you don't know about all of the other stuff. You know about the offensive play calling and designing schemes, etc. But it's all of that other stuff you have no idea. And he's really, really young.
Yeah.
And Sean McVay was the last one that was that young.
Right. I wouldn't scream and yell, but I'd be very worried. I certainly wouldn't be happy. I don't think I'd be confident about it. But Joe Brady's going to get a job at some point. As long as he's in Buffalo and he's connected to Josh Allen and they have success, it's inevitable. May not happen this season, but he's going to be a head coach at some point.
I agree.
Rory is in the Bronx. How are you, Rory?
Gentlemen, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the conversation. It's been driving me absolutely bonkers the last couple weeks. You know, I'm a season ticket holder here for the Jets, and I told my rep that I'm not buying season tickets next year until I find out who the coach is.
Look at that. Look at you holding the hammer. All right. Respect that, Rory.
Good for you. Evan just already and, went ahead and bought him.
Yeah, I'm a sucker. I was like, sure, you got me, whatever.
And my gaze test is if they hire any coach before they hire a general manager. Because what kind of backwards organization is this? Who's conducting these interviews? Woody himself? Like, let's hire a president of operations. Let's get out of the way. Let's hire the right GM and then a coach, like any other franchise would do, except for the Jets. You know, it's bonkers to me, guys.
No,
it's crazy. Woody needs to step away.
I mean,
I don't fully agree with that.
It's hard not to have the owner involved in some because that's who he's working for.
But who's making the decision?
It's going to be Woody that's making the decision.
No, but to his point, because he said...
You're talking about the head coach or the general manager?
Either one, because his point is, like, let's take this step back. Let's take this a step back. He says, and I respect this as a Jet fan who's waiting to decide if he wants to re-up his season tickets. Hey, Woody, you have to hire a president to then hire the head coach. And he says that because he's worried about Woody hiring the head coach.
Right.
Well, hold on a second. Who's hiring the team president? Like, Woody Johnson is hiring somebody.
Are we confirmed that Phil Savage is still involved? He's still advising, correct?
I already was a candidate for the GM job.
He might be.
He could go from interim general manager to the general manager.
Either way, there's somebody who's in these conversations with Woody. It's not like Woody standing by himself in his office saying, all right, I want to talk to this guy, this guy, this guy.
Right.
Bring him in and everybody else stay out. Like, there's a process that every team goes through, and the Jets, I'm assuming, are doing the same. And Phil Savage is probably there helping advise, helping ask the questions. Woody doesn't know all the questions to ask.
But he's ultimately making the final call on who the coach or GM team president is.
And by the way, he should.
Who else is going to?
He's the owner. Of course he should make that call.
Brick is making the call? That's his son. Like, who else is making the call?
He needs to be advised, but he certainly... earned that right because they bought the
team. But my point
to
is
make that call.
What we need to accept to our last caller is Woody Johnson, as much as we may not trust him, is making the decision on the coach or the GM first. You happen to want the GM president first. The reason I'd argue the head coach is if I'm bringing in a strong-willed head coach who I trust, if it is Mike McCarthy, I would want Mike McCarthy having say on who the general manager is because I don't want two competing interests running the New York Jets. I don't want the general manager not giving the pieces that the coach wants, that the coach believes in the system he's running that's going to have the most success. If you don't have them on the same page, then it's going to fail.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So I understand the argument of them being on the same page. I agree with that. I don't necessarily agree that it has to be the team president first. Like, there are organizations that hire the head coach first. Now, granted, it depends on who the coach is. If it's a first-timer like Joe Brady, you're not necessarily hiring him first and saying, give me input on the general manager.
Right, because he'll have trouble putting together a staff, because who does he know?
Right.
So you need someone who can help him do that.
Charles is calling from Long Island. How are you, Charles?
I'm doing good, Evan. Thank you very much. Tiki, how are you?
All's good, man.
So, Evan, you are spot on. They should be talking to McCarthy. They should have spoken to Belichick. They should be talking to Gruden, Peterson, anybody who has a winning pedigree, they should be talking to. But the bigger problem is the fact that we are having this, well, you guys are having this discussion, and we're listening to the discussion over and over again every time we go through this. Who's involved? Who's not involved?
Right.
Who's making the decision? Who's not making the decision? Is this guy Phil Savage? We don't know. Who's talking? That's the problem that's been going on for 25 years.
Yeah, it's not clear.
Since Woody has taken over, it's not clear who's involved, who's not involved. Is Woody involved? Where's Woody? Is his brother involved? It's the problem from the top to the bottom. It's the most dysfunctional organization in the history of organizations, and it's never going to get fixed. I mean, I hope it does, but I don't see how it's
going to get fixed. Can I tell you how it can get fixed? Can I tell you how? I don't believe for a second, Charles, that Woody Johnson, when they hired... Now, Woody wasn't even here at first because he was still serving in the first Trump administration, but I don't believe that he was handsy from the beginning with Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, nor was Christopher Johnson. I believe after years of failures, he got handsy.
Yeah.
Okay? That's my belief. So I don't believe he's hiring somebody and right away putting his hands all over the product. So what he needs to do, and this is where you got to take the leap of faith, is he has to almost accidentally find the right guys.
Yeah, but
if you find the right guys and they're winning, Tiki, I don't think he'll be involved.
No, you're probably right. But, I mean, I think he got handsy two seasons ago. So before the 2023 season, only because of the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Right? Before then, you're Coach Sala, do what you do, hire your staff, put a winner out there, I trust you. And then all of a sudden, it got twisted because of this idea. This idea that Aaron Rodgers could come be the savior for this Jets team. And then necessarily, he was involved. Because think of the monetary outlay that was going to require.
Right.
It wasn't your traditional, oh, we're going to go get a free agent quarterback and it's going to cost us $8 million in year one, but there's a signing bonus, so you got to put $50, $100 million in escrow and let that sit there, but it's not going to hurt us on the case. It wasn't that. It was, how do we maneuver Aaron Rodgers out of this ridiculous deal that he signed with the Green Bay Packers? That's only an owner discussion. So I think at that point, he got involved in this current iteration of this Jets team, and that's why. And after week five, he just felt like, I got to take control of this.
And he screwed up this season.
It's not working out
right
the way that we anticipated or planned it as a team here. I got to take control here. Sala, you're out. Ulbrich, come be the head coach.
Yeah.
And we all know how that happened.
Yeah, he screwed up this season.
It didn't do anything for them.
The handsiness of Woody Johnson absolutely screwed up 2024. Now, you could argue he wasn't going anywhere anyway,
right. but
it got worse.
But my point was, I think he had to. I think he had to get involved.
No, and I understand. I don't know. Well, he had to in terms of negotiating the Rodgers deal.
Right.
What he didn't have to do, though, Teak, was fire Robert Saleh 5 weeks into the season.
I 100% agree.
What
it
he
was
didn't
the biggest
have
mistake
to do,
he made. But it was his decision to make.
Of course. The owner can do whatever the hell they want. I also have a right to turn a microphone on and say they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it works both ways. He has every right to do whatever he wants, and then we as Jet fans, or just as broadcasters or whatever, have a right to say, hey, you got handsy and you screwed the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm doing right now. Sure, he has every right to do whatever the hell he wants. He can raise season ticket prices. Oh, that's right, he did. Like, he has every right to do that. But I think, and I know this isn't fair, I'm not saying it is,
yeah.
But I do not believe that if he hires two people right now, that he's going to overstep in year one or year two. And I think while that may not be a long enough window, I think if the Jets go out in year one and they win 10, 11 games,
yeah.
He's not going to get involved.
Of course he's not.
I think once it gets to year three or four and he's like, what the hell is going on? I'm paying you guys money. I hired you. Then he gets involved. What? So the answer to that question of how can they turn it around? That's how you turn it around. Hire the right people and start winning.
But I feel like even with Robert Saleh being 7-10, I think he was, his first couple of seasons, he didn't get involved either.
That's what I'm saying. But he also wasn't, I'm trying to think of the timeline on this. No, he was here. He was back.
Yeah.
He was back.
He definitely was.
Yes.
But he didn't get involved. It felt like he was just letting the coach be the coach.
He didn't get involved until they were sucking for a long period of time.
I suck.
Now, my counter to this, because I'm not defending Woody Johnson by any stretch, what I'm telling you to my fellow Jet fans is, here's the avenue where he won't get too involved. Start winning right away. Start winning right away, he's not going to get involved. But once, this is my advice to Woody, once you have the impulse to get involved, fire them. That'd be my answer.
Yeah.
Once you believe that they've lost
fair.
Your trust where you're getting involved, then just cut the rope off and get rid of them, which they should have done a year earlier instead of starting the season and then 5 weeks in being like, I'm firing Robert Saleh for Jeff Ulbrich, who's going to be completely overwhelmed as a head coach.
Yeah. I mean, if he was going to fire someone after five games, he should have done it in 2023 when Aaron got hurt and they looked terrible.
You're right. No, you're probably right. He should have done it then. More of your calls coming up at 888-8. Was that the number? Yeah, 888-808-1019. Sometimes I get confused.
You're losing your mind over here.
And why Woody Johnson really, and this is a rare time I'll say this about the Giants because they've been a joke for years now, but a rare example of where Woody Johnson should have taken advice from John Mara.